right, welcome to Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. I'm Corey Jones, safetyman.co, Be Ready with Safety Man on RVN TV, radiovisionnetwork.tv. Anywhere you can hear podcasts, you can hear these Be Ready with Safety Man podcasts. Today, I'm here with a friend and former podcaster, Anthony Sicali. We've talked about some pretty interesting things in the past, so go back and check them out. Today, we're going to talk about...
Today, I thought, to go off a little bit of last month's topic of survival and prepping a little bit, it's kind of like the after effects surviving natural disasters. Talk a little bit of some experiences that I've dealt with. And so I thought today would be a good time to follow up with just surviving natural disasters and moving on and how to prepare a little bit and how to deal with it as well.
So talk about how you gained this experience in natural disasters.
So I first got into after Katrina. In 2005, a captain in a department where I worked, he went down and helped out with the relief effort in after Katrina. And as most people know, Hurricane Katrina was one of the most devastating, if not the most devastating hurricane we've ever experienced in this country. And so I saw some of his experience and I said, wow, that's something that I think that I would like to do is help out these people. And so then I looked into ways that I could help out, and me and my brother and I started researching, and we found that Habitat for Humanity, and there's a bunch of organizations out there that you could go sure. down and volunteer and help out with. And so I said, I'd like to do that. So one spring break, the year after that, we went down and we started helping out. And so that was the first time that I really experienced and kind of got out of my bubble here.
Right.
We're so enclosed to a bubble that once you step out of it, sometimes you go, wow, this is something, this is something else.
Yeah. Like a day or two, you're trapped inside with a couple inches of snow and you got a front wheel drive car is different than what you experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we went down there and, I'll talk a little more about that. And then the next couple years, I said, I want to go back and help out again. I haven't been doing much and I want to try to give back a little bit. So after Hurricane Harvey hit in Texas a few years back, again, I started researching, hey, how can I help out? So then I got connected with this group called the Cajun Army. So I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but I want to kind of give them a little plug today because I've been doing work with them. I don't know, have you ever heard of the Cajun Navy?
No.
No, okay, so the Cajun Navy was founded kind of after Katrina time frame as well. So basically what was happening was floods are coming through, people are getting trapped. So what they did was, it's a volunteer organization, it's not part of the actual Navy. The Cajun Navy said, hey, we're a group of volunteers, we have boats, we're gonna get together and help just getting people out. Because, when the initial flood happens, you're not gonna have the military there. You're not gonna have FEMA there on the first day. You're not gonna have Red Cross there on the first day.
Right.
So you need first responders, and you need more than just your police department, fire department. You need people on the ground ASAP,
Okay.
So this Cajun Navy was born, and they were coming in, just people, guys, girls, whoever, had boats in their backyard that could just get around. They're saving dogs, animals, anything they can do, moving water from one place, getting people out of trapped areas. So that's all great and well, and then what happens is, the water subsides, and people start coming in and trying to help. So now is where the Cajun Army was formed, and this is where they came in.
Okay.
So what happens at this point is, what I mostly have dealt with has been flooding. What happens at this point is that now you have all this water in your house, okay? If you've ever had a flood, if you've ever experienced water in your house, you don't realize how damaging water really is.
It is.
Until you get a little bit somewhere. Yeah. So you're like, wow, like this little bit of water is, it's a hassle. So now imagine your whole house filled to the brim with water and now you're dealing with it. So, any average in shape American or someone that has a bunch of neighbors or a close knit community, you can help each other out and rip up carpets. You can rip out drywall. You can do these things. But now imagine you're a single parent. You're by yourself, or you're an elderly person.
Of course.
You're by yourself. Now your house just sits and you don't know what to do. You don't have any help. And now all of a sudden you're somewhere like Texas, where you're talking 80, 90 degree weather. Now what happens is you get mold everywhere.
And every day it sits, it gets worse, right?
Yeah, it just keeps growing. And so you have these 60, 70, 80 year old women that, or even men that we've helped out as well. We've had disabled people as well. Mm-hmm. And they can't do this. So The Cajun Army was kind of formed, and they work hand in hand with some religious groups or places of worship that might have names of elderly members or family people that put names and say, hey, can you go help this person? So then the Cajun Army comes in and we help, free of charge, rip out walls, rip up carpet, gut as much as we possibly can. And then there's another element that tries to help maybe rebuild a little bit, but at least to get the initial phase going for some of these people.
Right. Stop the damage before it gets too bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So a little bit of water could turn into a little bit of mold that could turn into taking over your whole house, and then it's condemned.
So one thing I would say that our listeners should take right now is look in your area and find out if there are any volunteer organizations now.
Yeah.
Find out what their phone number, website. Volunteer if you can. If you can't, just get on their radar so heaven forbid something does happen, you know where to reach out at the last minute, because the internet may be down at that point.
Yeah, having even a phone number or contact, which is good about the Cajun Army. It's CajunArmy.com if anyone wants to check it out. They also have a Facebook group page, and so they do like a call for arms, like this fast flood they just had that I'm going to talk a little bit, I'm going to go down and help out with a little bit next week. I'm actually going back down there, so that's why I thought this would be a good podcast this week. They have a good Facebook page, group page, and they say, hey, this is what's going on. This is where we need people.
Right.
If you can volunteer, if you have a free weekend, you have a free couple days, come help out, you know? And so that's kind of that's mostly down south in Louisiana, Texas. Last year we went down to North Carolina and helped out down there as well. So they kind of mobilize and try to get together where is needed. But yeah, definitely, if you're looking to volunteer, if you're an able-bodied person, and here's the thing, I'm not a construction guy, I'm not a technical guy,
right?
But I can rip up carpet, right. It doesn't, I like to
follow directions.
I follow directions. I'm on the demo side of things. I'm not the guy that really kind of puts things together, even though next week I'm going to try doing a little bit. But I'm the guy that, hey, here's a wheelbarrow full of drywall. We just need you to take it and drag it and keep dragging it to the curb.
Yep.
And going back and forth and back and forth.
Yep.
I can do that, So don't think that if you don't have any technical skills when it comes to building or whatnot, that you can't be helped, because there is definitely tons of assistance that are needed in these situations.
Is there an age limit on that? Could parents now order like 16, 17-year-old kids to get them some exposure?
Yeah, so a lot of youth groups actually go down and through like churches and whatnot. So, last time when I was down there, there was kids that were like 14, 15 years old that I saw that were helping out. And
so they're pretty organized as far as they will, make sure that they don't assign somebody a task that's too
No,
not age appropriate or anything.
And that's the thing, is that this isn't like, this is volunteer work. And so, I'll tell you, man, after day two of being down there, like by my day three, I'm taking a break every hour for 10 minutes, five minutes here and there, because I'm exhausted. It's a lot of work,
Right.
And no one gets on you. They're not like, hey, man, you're taking another break. Like, really? Like, no one's getting paid. So they're just thankful for anyone that can help. Even if you can come for a half day, for 2 hours, or there's so many other ways that people have been helping out with these organizations. And Cajun Army is not the only one. There's a ton of these organizations. And Cajun Army is a legit one that I can back, because they are a nonprofit. They're recognized. They're a legit one. So make sure that you're also looking into that these are legit volunteer groups, because there obviously is scammers out there. So do your research.
I know they dealt with that up here after Superstorm Sandy and Hurricane Irene, with scammers operating down the shore trying to, quote, help people. So it's good that you found one that's 501c3, that they're recognized, they have an internet, they have a website, and it's really easy to Facebook fact check to make sure that they're good to go, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely something that happens, because, that's one of the things that happens too, is you have these groups that they look for when there's disasters, and they go and scam right away. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, some of these groups, they show up, right? And let's say you're an elderly person, you got a little bit of money, you're okay, right? But, you want to get yourself taken care of right away. And some guy knocks on your door and says, hey, for $5,000, I could take care of all this tomorrow. You just got to pay me $1,000 up front, and I'll be back tomorrow. And they go, oh, sure, here, they write a check. And then boom, or whatever, and this guy never shows back up.
Right.
And that happens a lot, those kind of things. So you want to make sure that you're looking, if you're on the other side of things, or you have family members that you know what you're getting involved with as well.
So that would be always another good point for our listeners, is if you're involved in that, don't make a snap decision. Maybe reach out to a family member who has internet connection, can do a little bit of research for you. And if you can, always get your insurance company mm-hmm. involved and check with FEMA too to make sure that there's not already any red flags out there in that area, right?
Yeah. So FEMA does get involved with a lot of these, but a lot of stuff doesn't happen right away.
Yeah.
You know, I know after Sandy, people were waiting years to get things done. I had a guy that was living in one of my rental properties after FEMA. He was waiting for his house to get rebuilt, and it took years to get what was needed to be done. Right. So, you know, don't expect things to happen right away. But so I mostly have dealt with hurricane stuff, water, flooding, and that's kind of what I was going to focus on, you know, talking about today in that stuff. So I did the touch on last week or last podcast that we did. One of the things I definitely went out and did was I got a map right away. I ordered a map.
Nice.
And so I was seeing, I watched, I know we talked a little bit about it, but on Netflix right now, mm-hmm. they have The Fire in Paradise. Did you get a chance to see any of that or no?
Not yet.
No. So, I'm so glad I got a map. So, one of the things that I haven't dealt with a lot, but I was watching this documentary, was the evacuations from the fires in some of the towns in California.
Right.
And what was happening was GPS was going down, you know, because mm-hmm. now towers were going down in these massive fires. Everyone's trying to evacuate. And people are stuck on these main roads. They don't know where to go. So I was like, if you had a map, you would know right. the back roads because right, your right. GPS isn't working, you know.
Yeah.
So
let that be a lesson. $2, throw it in your glove box.
I got it for $3 online. And yeah. It's New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was one of the things I would suggest going. I put out a thing online. I said, hey, does anyone have any ideas of some stuff about the Cajun Army to talk about some things about some of their experiences?
Awesome.
And so I think it's Betty King, and she put out a couple good things that made a lot of sense. So one of the things she put out that I never really thought of, and I live in a flood area, so this is actually a really good idea, and especially if you're a prepper as well. She said that you should be putting, she put on here to grab a thumb drive full of pictures and photo albums.
Okay.
Because a lot of that stuff gets destroyed. I can't tell you how many times I've been down working on someone's house and I'm just throwing out pictures, albums, they're all just mold covered.
Yeah.
And so people's memories are shot, they're gone.
Yeah, erased.
Yeah, and even if you have computers, like all electronics, if they get wet, mm-hmm. they're all toast, they just get thrown to the curb. So she made a good point and she put on here thumb drive. So.
Okay.
You know, making maybe a day or two in the summer, you got some vacation time, and you just upload all your photos and back them up to a safety drive or whatever, mm-hmm. so you don't lose them. And that, I thought that was a really good one.
And I would add to that, scan all your important documents into yes. that too, right? Your birth certificates, any immigration papers, naturalization, citizenship, your insurance documents, your deed, and all those different things to your house. You know, divorce decrees, all those things become important later on when you're trying to rebuild, because FEMA, your insurance company, they're all going to want that, and you're going to show up trying to get stuff and they're going to ask, who are you, are you legal, are you this, are you that. If you have that paperwork, a digitized copy someplace, passports, all those kinds of things, definitely good to put on that same type of thing, whether it be in a cloud mm-hmm. or on a thumb drive in a secure offsite location.
One thing, so now, like every time I come on the show here, we do a podcast, I think of more, it gives me more work to do when I go, oh man, I didn't even think of that. Now I got to think of
I'm sorry, I didn't no, well, give you more work.
Well, no, but she put this on there and I thought about it and I was like, wow, this is a really good idea. Now I got to do it. The one thing I do is that, because I do live in a flood zone, I do have my important documents in a safe, but I put them in plastic bags.
Yes.
So that's the one thing that I have done to prep for that in case this happens, but... I thought that was a really good point. Another point that another person on here, Bob, said.
Thanks for that one, Becky.
Betty.
Betty. Thanks, Betty, for that one.
Bettina Kings. I think it's Betty. Betty okay. King. But Bob also put on here that a good one would be to make sure they have all your medications together.
Yes.
And have them ready to go. Because one of the things they were talking about here as well was make sure you evacuate right away when you hear the evacuations. And that was one of the things I also saw that brought it to home when I was watching the Fire in Paradise documentary, was making a plan to get out as fast as possible. So this touches on having your prep bag ready to go, throw right. it in the car,
right.
and you're good to go. But definitely medications, having them organized, ready to go. You know, if you're going to go to the bathroom downstairs, to the car, to grab, you know, if you got all your stuff in the one spot, you throw in a bag and go.
Right.
That's definitely an important thing, because you don't know how long, especially if you're someone that's reliant on medication every day, You know, I'm not talking about like Advil or whatnot that you might just need. I'm talking about your requirements every day, and that's something that you definitely need.
That's definitely important. I would also add to that too, is some medications you're allowed to get a month or so in advance. Mm-hmm. Opioids and certain things like that, obviously you can't because of the crisis that's going on. But if you have cancer, diabetes medication, things that you need that are to keep you alive, try to get enough ahead where you can put that in an emergency bag. Put that with any instructions, simple things that you need like contact lenses, another pair of eyeglasses, because if you're blind as a bat and you can't drive and your contacts get washed out, your day's done. Hearing aids, things like that you just need to be normal.
Yeah.
Not even have fun, not even, you know, just so you can operate, so you can figure out how to get across the street and get stuff. You know, just to get you to the baseline, is have an emergency supply of that, just to get you to baseline.
Yeah, and like, even a couple days, right? Like two, 3 days just to get you through the initial issue. Another point that...
Who was that last one?
That last one was... Oh, so I think it's Betty and Robert King. I think I don't know if this is a joint account.
Thank you,
Rob. So it's either Betty or Robert King that put this on there. But the last one, Bob said about the medications he put on there. And another thing that Betty or Rob, I'm not sure, put on here as well. And this definitely hit home in the document. I keep bringing this up, but it's very good, so I highly recommend it. Make sure that when you do evacuate, you know, when it is time to evacuate, that you do evacuate. Because they made a good point. Not only are you putting yourself at risk, but you're putting first responders at risk too. Mm-hmm. And one of the parts in the documentary is you see one of the officers, he has to go into this fire area that's pretty much contained. And now he's like, listen, if we don't go now, like we're all stuck and dead here.
Yeah.
And he like barely makes it out alive. Mm-hmm. He's actually driving through fire at one point live. They have the camera footage. And then they put this comment on here. So that definitely just hit home for me if they're watching this. Yeah, you're putting first responders in risk too, because they're the ones that are going to have to come get you, you know?
If they can come get you.
Yeah, and that's if they can come get you. So they might even die or risk their life trying to even get to you.
Right.
So when it is time to evacuate, you need to evacuate, right. You know? If people are telling you to evacuate, it's not because they're thinking it's funny or it's a possibility. They're telling you because they know this is what's happening.
Right. So for pre-planning, one of the things to think about is if you live in a fire zone, you live in a flood zone, you live in Hurricane Alley, things that have happened numerous times and you just possibly could get cut off, you need to already know one or two ways away from your house, one or two of the evacuation meeting points. That information is usually online in one of the county plans where you live. If that happens, I know you see it in the city, snow evacuation route. Mm-hmm. They have different routes that they're going to plow first to be able to clear the city if something happens. So it may be good, young drivers, old drivers, everybody, learn those mile markers, learn those roadways, learn those plans now. So again, in an emergency, you don't have to. I know it sounds like we're constantly telling you to do all this stuff, but the name of this podcast is Be Ready with Safety Man. So that's what we want you to do, is be ready, because we're so used to being able to Google something on the moment. And when's the last time you were someplace didn't have good signal strength, you couldn't Google anything?
Yeah.
Now imagine your life's at stake and there's a fire a couple hundred yards away or water's creeping up on you.
Yeah, and that's definitely... It's a whole other ball game where you can't rely on those things. So even having something minor in place, a minor plan of evacuation, and knowing an alternate route, you know, just not the main one, knowing a couple alternate routes will definitely help out a lot. I also put on here, and one thing you want to think about if you are in a flood zone, and this is one thing I took advantage of actually this past year, was buying some kind of small boat or a kayak. And it doesn't have to be something expensive,
right?
Or a life raft or something. Mm-hmm. Because I live right near the creek, and we've had some floods, nothing too crazy, but I've seen how fast the waters come up when it has started to come up, and I've seen some places that I've gone to, and it's, you know, the water rises fast.
Yeah.
You know, so your car, if you are sleeping and it happens overnight and you don't hear that alarm going off or whatnot, or someone doesn't call you, you could wake up to 4 feet of water and your car is no good anymore.
Sure,
exactly. You know? So having a small kayak or a boat, and you can find them on Facebook Marketplace. I got a kayak cheap,
right.
Real cheap. I mean, you can find these old little boats, little dinghies or whatever they're called, little rafts, just to have something in your garage or in your backyard to have. And you know, you use it leisurely. I take the kayak out now, I enjoy it. And, but you know, it's also a safety thing, you know,
exactly.
Just to have it there just in case.
If you never used a kayak before, I suggest you do that on vacation. It's fun. But you can flip it over. Ask yes. me how I know.
Experience, right?
So you don't want the emergency to be your first day, right? Fortunately, I was in the Keys. The water was shallow and buoyant.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, you definitely want to know your equipment, right? We always say test your equipment out before you you use it. But, yeah, no, definitely know your area. If you're in some place that has some kind of natural disaster, having a couple things in place. And, you know, like I have life jackets now in my kayak. I have a bag with just a couple little things in my kayak, mm-hmm. you know, that's ready to go. A bottle of water, you know, and whatnot in there. So just some small stuff to think about when it comes to that. Also, I put in here learning to swim. I put down a note, learn to swim. Yes. I know how to swim, but I'm saying if you live near the river or creek, that might be a good idea.
Might be a good idea. Yeah. Teach your kids how to swim and learn to swim as an adult.
One of the craziest things, and I'll show you the picture later as well. So last year we went down to North Carolina, and North Carolina wasn't somewhere that was really, this was post Hurricane Michael last year, so that kind of came up through Florida, did a lot of wreckage. But there was actually a lot of after flooding in North Carolina areas that happened because of Michael and other storms as well. The people, right. It didn't get all the sexy press that Michael got in Florida.
Right, right.
And so the Cajun Army doesn't always just go where the most popular place is to be. It's where people need help.
Okay.
And so North Carolina needed a lot of help. And so we were going around and we were looking at some of these places. And the one that really stuck out in my mind was there was this house that was on a creek. Now, the creek was up on a rise of about maybe 5 or 6 feet from ground level down the creek. It was already up high. It was up about 6 feet. Now, this house was already on stilts of about maybe 10 or 11 feet. So we're talking about 17 feet of water.
Wow.
And I show the water line. I took a picture. I'll find it for you in a little bit. The water line's halfway through the house. We're talking 18 feet of water that rose.
Wow.
And this happened within a 24-hour period.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It really was, because we went out there and I'm looking at this house. I'm like, how'd this house get flooded? And like, see where the mud mark is? That's where the flood water was. And I was like, that like can't even be serious. And they're like, nah, that's exactly where it was. I think I might have a picture if I can find one, but I'll look for it and show it to you. But
yeah, and we can actually, if you can protect the address of it, we can tag that when we post this podcast online later this evening. So what are our listeners, what you're getting out of this is, I know it seems like we're saying the same things over and over again, but pre-plan, know where you are, know which type of natural disaster may have happened in your area, and figure out how you would manage that. You'll find that a lot of these prep things are cross disaster. So if it's the zombie apocalypse, if it's a flood, if it's a fire that's spreading, you'll find that a lot of these prep things that we're talking about doing will cross this, like cross planning. You know, FEMA actually said, we don't necessarily believe in zombies, but if you're prepared for the zombie apocalypse, you're probably also prepared for a giant snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. I actually had it on their website.
Yeah, it's true though. I mean, being prepared for those things. A couple other things I put in here, and people don't think about. So this is some of the issues that we've seen in some of the floods areas too, is that knowing that if you are going to go in and help, you have to wear the proper safety gear.
Right.
And so when we go down there, I'm wearing a full suit, full breather mask, gloves, boots, you know, eye protection. I wear, you know, a hat, the whole nine yards. Because here's the thing is that you're like, okay, well, it's water. Okay, but you know what? When water rises, what is it bringing with it? Oils. Stuff from the street.
Yeah.
But on worst of it, a lot of these places have septic tanks.
Yes.
So a lot of that stuff is all coming up and it's just floating all around. So you got a lot of biohazard stuff going on as well in these places, on walls and areas that you're in. And so it's not, you know, it's not a nice place.
Right. So you don't want to become part of the problem, right?
Yeah. You don't want to get sick and you don't want to be volunteering, thinking you're doing a good thing. And the next thing you know, you're out of work for the next couple months because you catch, you know, something or you get sick because of that. So being prepared, if you are going to volunteer and help out, that these are things that you, again, got to be prepared for. You got
to
be able
to go to this website. They can kind of find out what the prerequisites are, what they would recommend you bring. Like, I'm sure there's communities on there, people say this is what your initial go bag to bring down would be, this is the skill set that we're looking for, and so forth. This is how to keep yourself safe in this area.
Yeah, and so Cajun Army is good, and there's a lot of good people on there. Richard runs the Facebook group page, and he's good at answering a lot of questions. He's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, and like I said, I know I'm talking about Cajun Army, but there's a lot of good places and a lot of good things that you can help. I'll give you an example. So 2 years ago when I went down, we were staying in a church, and we were sleeping in there and helping out during the day. And there was 70, 80-year-old women in there when I rolled in. I'm like, what are these women doing? But they were helping to clean, do a wash, cook food, just help around the church from day to day, getting ready, getting people's beds made. Like, you know, and it seems like minor work and whatnot, but it's a big help, you know.
Absolutely.
After I've been working 8 hours and I come back and there's already food made and there's laundry being done and I can just rest and relax for a couple hours, it was really nice. So there's a lot of other ways that people can help out. It doesn't just have to be, oh, you have to be ripping out wall and physical labor and whatnot. I mean, there's a lot of things. And here's the other thing. I had a friend this year who he said, you know, I'd love to go down there. I would love to help, but I can't, you know, physically go down there. But he was able to make a donation, or on top of it, he was able to help get supplies down there. Okay. And that's what really, you know, it's not a profit. It's not a place that's making profit. They're not asking for millions and millions of dollars, but they need things like gloves and suits and goggles and things like that. So that's the stuff they need.
Because that one you bring down only lasts so long.
Yeah. So if you bring anything down, it's going to maybe a day or two, but you're going to need new gloves. You get them contaminated, you might have to change gloves 2-3 times a day, you know. So people just helping out, donating stuff like that. And I remember last time they set up an Amazon page, and I don't know what it is, but they were just showing like, hey, we're in need of this gear right now, if anyone can help. Okay. So there's many ways that you can also help out and give back a little bit. Even if you can't physically do it, you don't have the time to do it, or you just don't feel like doing it, you know? Like, I'm not going to knock anyone. I know people's lives are crazy, so I show people what I'm doing, and they're like, yeah, I'll help donate, but I don't really want to go deal
with black mold all day. Exactly, and now we're getting the word out for it. You know, the Cajun Army, we're getting the word out. You know, there's a website, there's a social media page. We'll have links to it. What I wanted to ask you, Anthony, and I know you probably saw it a number of times in your law enforcement career, but I'm sure you've seen it down there too, that look of appreciation of somebody that you're helping that didn't think that there was going to be anybody to help them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know what, and I always joke around, but I follow the 6 rules of Arnold Schwarzenegger's advice of success, and number 6 is always you got to give something back, even if it's little, or whatever you can do, your community, your friends, your family. So this is, I try to do this every year to give back a little bit, and yeah, it is definitely nice to see that, you know, you're not making any money off this. I'm sick, I guess, because I just enjoy the experience. Like, I really do.
No,
like,
you're the good human being. That's why you're here making podcasts with me, because I want people to understand that America is built on good human beings like Anthony, who want to help, who takes time out of his own day to come here to talk to you about ways to keep you safe, and then takes his own time to go volunteer to help other people restore something that either Mother Nature or something took from them.
Yeah, and, well,
you know,
I appreciate
America
that.
Still
yeah.
has that, you know, that's still the heartbeat of America, and, you know, people keep the faith and understand that.
Yeah, and so this time coming up, I'm going down, and I actually, it's fun because, you know what's fun about it too is, not only do I get the experience of doing it and seeing someone's being satisfied, but I meet some really great people.
Yes.
I meet some really great people. So next week I'm going down to Houston. I'm helping out. The Cajun Army is actually wrapping up their operation. They've been down there for about the last 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to actually meet up with someone else that needed some help somewhere else. So I'm actually going to help out someone else that's going to appreciate our help as well. So it's great. You meet all these people and you get to kind of network and you know, find out what's needed. So but yeah, so anyway, that's what's going on with Cajun Army. I just want to give them a little plug today, but I want to also talk a little bit about safety and the after fact of that as well, and touch on from last time's prepping episode, and, you know, just continue on with some ideas of experiences and stuff.
Exactly. Well, Anthony, that was a lot of information. Thank you again to our listeners, Cajun Army. I know in Anthony's Eat a Hoagie on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be able to link to it, and Be Ready with Safety Man on Facebook, safetyman.co on Instagram. You'll be able to get links to it, because if I find an organization that helps people out and they're, you know, good and above board, I definitely want to link to them because I want people to help. All right. So thanks for listening to this podcast. We'll be doing another one soon. Eat a Hoagie on Twitter, right?
Yes, sir.
E-A-T-A-H-O-A-G-I-E is like our fourth one.
Yes.
I can actually do it now. Right? If you want to find me, safetyman.co. Be ready with Safety Man everywhere podcasts are played. Remember, at Safety Man, we do three things to keep you ready. We do active shooter training for your business, house of worship, school, or any place you have a lot of people. We do taser training and sales to teach you moral, legal, tactical, and practical ways to defend yourself with a legal taser with training. And finally, we do de-escalation training or conflict avoidance, crisis management training to avoid a problem, to increase your safety and decrease your liability.